Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
And hi, everyone. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. We've got a great guest today. I think a man that's, let's just put it this way, he's the fourth longest person in the sports department in the history of the school right now at Louisiana Tech, Malcolm Butler, who is the fourth longest tenured currently in the athletic department and has taken over in years past the retired Keith Prince, who was there 24 years. Many have went on to be SIDs from learning under Malcolm Butler at Louisiana Tech. Also serves as a primary media contact for women's basketball at Louisiana Tech. Softball the past 22 years. I didn't know that. And also in May, became football, men's basketball, play-by-play with the retirement of longtime legend Dave Nitz. Malcolm, thanks for joining us today, man.
Thanks, Lee. I'm tired now just listening to you from everything you just spouted out. But, yeah, no, we're glad to be on, and I appreciate you covering Louisiana Tech.
And I also want to mention this, and I'm just trying to throw out all the great stuff you do over there at Tech, but Lady Texter basketball team for 21 seasons, radio play-by-play voice.
Yeah.
650 women's basketball games, including 15 NCAA tournament games. That's a lot, Malcolm.
It is. Well, you know, you do something long enough, and the numbers start to add up. And, yeah, this is the first year since I've been at Louisiana Tech, and I started back in 99. This is my first year tonight to do women's basketball. You mentioned taking over for Dave Nitz when it comes to football and men's basketball. And although I am busy and I know how to multitask, I haven't figured out how to be at two places at the same time to call two different games. So I'm moved over to do the men's this year, and my good friend Kyle Roberts is going to be the women's play-by-play. But I'm sitting here watching women's basketball practice right now as we speak.
I had a chance. I want to go and get into this first. I want to talk about football in the show with you, and also men's basketball, girls basketball. But I had a chance to watch the Alabama game last night against the men's basketball team at Louisiana Tech. I'm going to tell you what, they went toe-to-toe with Alabama for a half. I mean, that was impressive on the road at Alabama. And they've got a kid on that team I want to ask you about, who I think is phenomenal for a big guy, Kenneth Lofton at 6'7", 290, if that's being nice.
Yeah, no, probably is. You know how rosters are on the line, but you usually add a couple of inches to guys and usually take a few pounds off sometimes. Right. But, you know, no, he's a special talent. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, that Alabama team we played last night, obviously they were good. They were ranked 14th in the country and won the SEC last year. But until you see them up close in person, man, I'm going to be interested to follow them. I think they're a Final Four team. Wow. I think they've got everything that it takes. And they have just unbelievable speed. They have great depth. They have shooters all over the floor. They dribble drive. And if you find a way to cut them off, and they're kicking it out for threes. They've got some size inside. And it was a track meet last night. And I think they are an unbelievably talented team. And Louisiana Tech's a very talented team. We won 24 games last year. You know, won the West of Division of Conference USA, and were invited to the NIT and made it all the way to the Final Four, beat Colorado State in a consolation game to finish third. And we got a lot of players back. You mentioned Kenneth Lofton Jr., who's just a COVID freshman, right? Yeah, I mean, last year was his true freshman year, and he gets it back, and he played for the Team USA, an under-19 team this past summer that won a gold medal overseas, and he was a big part of that. So we're really excited about him. I think Eric Conkle's done a great job, and he's got a great opportunity to win conference this year.
You know, Malcolm, I watched Louisiana Tech play LSU last year, and they came close to beating LSU last year. And this kid, Kenneth Lofton, was all over LSU. And he reminds me of Charles Barkley when he was at Auburn. You know, the way he moves for such a big guy and how nimble he is, and he's got a soft shot. I mean, he was a fine right out of Port Arthur, Texas. He was a great sleeper, I guess. He wasn't highly recruited, but heck, he's turned out to be a phenomenal player.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, he's close to 300 pounds. He's about 6'7", but he has unbelievable footwork inside. He can finish with either hand. He can step out and shoot it from 15 or 16 feet. He uses that size that we just talked about to his advantage. Bigger guys guard him, but he's able to use that body. And so he had a 7-footer last night for Alabama guarding him. And, you know, he ended up, I think, with 12-9, and that's without playing basically the last 15 minutes of the game. He came down with he started cramping, and by the time they got some fluids in him, the game was out of reach, so no need to put him back out there. But he's a special player, and we're sure glad he's in a Louisiana Tech uniform.
And also, Malcolm, I was impressed with David Green, a freshman out of Apopka, Florida. He was a good-looking player last night at 6'7". Freshman.
Yeah, he's a transfer from Hofstra, so he's a COVID freshman, just like Junior is. I mean, these classifications for the next few years are going to be pretty messed up, with everybody getting a year back. But, we got another guy named Isaiah Crawford, who I think is a special player, unbelievable point guard, and Kobe Williams. They really have, all the facets, to make a nice run and to win Conference USA. And, you know, Louisiana Tech men's basketball, who's got a great tradition. We haven't been to the NCAA tournament since the early 90s, and that's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. So they've won the regular season conference title a number of times in the last 10 years, but most of the time, it's a one-bid league if you're not a Power Five, and so we've not been able to win that conference tournament to get there. And so I think this could be their year if they can stay healthy.
Malcolm, we're going to take a break, come back. Love to keep you on and talk some football when we come back. You're listening to Malcolm Butler, who's with Louisiana Tech, does play-by-play by many of the sports programs there at Louisiana Tech, who's been there for many years. The magazine that we have is 25 years old. He's been there over 20 years at Louisiana Tech, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back with the Sports Scouting Report. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our guest today is Malcolm Butler from Louisiana Tech. Malcolm, football, it's been a tough season. Tech's had great years. I remember beating Miami and shutting them out in Independence Bowl not too long ago. And it's just been a tough year, 2-7, and we talked about it off the air. But here's the teams they lost to, as you know. I wanted to share this with the listeners. But Mississippi State, SMU, North Carolina State, UTEP, UTSA that's having their best season ever, UAB, who's a program on the rise, Old Dominion, another program on the rise. Those are the teams that they lost to. Those are some pretty good teams.
Yeah, and if you look, we're unfortunately on a 5-game losing streak right now, Lee, and if you look at it, I really think it goes back to the first 5 games. We opened the season in Starkville against Mississippi State, and we find ourselves up 20 points in the fourth quarter, yeah, with 12 minutes to play, and they came back, scored 3 touchdowns, and we had one last chance and drove it down to their 29-yard line and had a game-winning 46-yard field goal attempt on the final play of the game, and guy got a little bit of push up the middle and got a hand on it and blocked it, and we lose 35-34. Came back the next week and won a shootout against a very good Southeastern Louisiana team. And then the next week got SMU in there. And, I mean, SMU is a team ranked in the top 25 right now. They've only got one loss. That came to Houston. And, we're up by 3 points with 5 seconds to play in the game, and they've got the ball on our 35, and they just throw one up to the end zone, kind of a Hail Mary, and it gets batted around and ends up in the hands of an SMU player, and we lose by 3 on the last play of the game. And so now you're 1-2. Came back, beat North Texas the next week to go to 2-2, and then go to North Carolina State, who has just come off a win over Clemson, and they're ranked in the top 25. And, we're down a touchdown and got the ball on their 20-yard line in the last 40 seconds of the game and just couldn't score to tie it up. And so we lose a close one there. And we go into our bye week 2-3, and we're that close to being 5-0 or 4-1. And, I really think those close losses in those first 5 weeks took their toll, yeah, on this team. We came out of bye week, went to UTEP, who, as you mentioned, is a much improved football team. And went up there, and, man, we only scored 3 points. And that was one thing this team had done, even through those losses early. We scored points. I mean, we were averaging about 35 a game, and we just couldn't move the football against UTEP. And then we come back the next week and play a UTSA team that's undefeated right now and ranked in the top 20 in the country, and made some mistakes in that ball game that really cost us, and lose that one. And now you're sitting at 2-5, and we go to Old Dominion. And Old Dominion, to be honest, not a very good team. They'd only won one game. It was all against an FCS. And that was really the first time this year I felt like, we just lost a game that to a team that was just far, inferior to us. And that was a disappointment. And now you're sitting at 2-6 and we go to UAB and they're really good. And, you know, we were up 21-7 in that ball game early and just can't stop them. And they end up beating us 52-38. So I just think those first 5 weeks and those three close losses all three of those losses came on the last play of the game, basically. Mm. You know, if you're 4-1 or 5-0 right there, I think these last 3 weeks look totally different, but you're not. And that's just kind of way to go. You know, the game goes sometimes.
Yeah, and hopefully they're winnable. Charlotte, Rice, and Southern Miss. Two are at home, obviously. Rice away, but all three of these are winnable games to try and get 5 wins and finish strong. Take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask Malcolm Butler about Austin Kendall, who's had he's looked at times really great. The transfer from he's played all over the place, West Virginia and some other schools, and is really – I watched the Mississippi State game. He was really good in that game. And Marcus Williams, I'll ask him about Marcus. Smoke Harris, who's from the Baton Rouge area, Bub Means, and a bunch of other players that are from Louisiana that I've been able to watch and keep up with since high school. We'll be right back with more of Malcolm Butler with Louisiana Tech in just a moment. We'll take a break. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle – go see Medine's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Malcolm Butler. And Malcolm, you've got a title, man. You got several titles, broadcasting, play-by-play, also senior associate of AD, strategic communications. You do it all.
Well, I do a little bit of everything, and, you know, that's how it goes a lot of times at mid-majors. We don't quite have the staff that they've got at a Power 5, and when you've been somewhere for 23 years like I have, all of a sudden those responsibilities just continue to add up. So, yeah, I've got a lot on my plate. I enjoy what I do. I'm very fortunate to work at my alma mater. A place that I grew up. I went to my first Tech sporting event when I was 7 years old. It was a football game, and I've kind of been bleeding red and blue ever since. So very fortunate that I've been able to do something that I love for the last 23 years.
Malcolm, my favorite Louisiana native ever was Terry Bradshaw.
Well, he's a pretty good one. There's no doubt about it. He obviously left Tech after the 69 season when he went to the NFL in 70. I was born in 69, so I didn't get to see him at Tech.
One year before me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. He had a great career at Pittsburgh. I grew up a Cowboys fan, so I wasn't real happy about the career Terry had, beating the Cowboys in a couple of Super Bowls. But he is, he's just one of a number of really high-profile, athletic alums that have come from Louisiana Tech.
Two of my other favorites that I've covered since I started in the business is Troy Edwards, receiver, played at Huntington and Shreveport, and also Tim Retay was one of my favorites to come out of Tech, quarterback from Utah. State of Utah.
Tim and Troy were quite the combination. Those guys hooked up. In fact, if you remember, back in 98, they opened up in Nebraska. And Troy caught 21 passes that day for 405 yards, which is still an NCAA single game record. And he did it against the defending national champion Cornhuskers that day. And that all came off of Rattay's arm. He threw for 590 yards that day. And those two guys were a lot of fun to watch play together.
And Malcolm, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not looking at record books, but three of the five best ever yardage in a game is from Louisiana players. Troy Edwards, Josh Reed, and Kashawn Boutte. So
yeah, those are pretty good. Those are three pretty good wide receivers.
I want to talk about the team. Austin Kendall's a new quarterback transfer. Played at a couple of different colleges. I watched the Mississippi State game, and he's got a lot of ability. And I know there's been injuries. He's played J.D. Head. I know Aaron Allen, but this is a kid who's got some talent. And like I said, I watched the whole Mississippi State game. I'm still sick to my stomach, along with the Tech fans. I just thought that game was incredible. And like you said, that was a game that was so close.
Yeah, Austin Kendall's has a great season for us. You know, I mentioned early in the year, those first five games offensively, we were almost unstoppable. And a lot of that has to do with Austin. He's got some nice weapons around him, but he's a guy that started his career at Oklahoma and then went to West Virginia. And he had actually decided he was done with college football and had gone out and got it, you know, gotten his degree and gotten a big boy job. He was in medical sales. And Skip Holtz and this coaching staff kind of convinced him in late June, early July, to come and sign with Louisiana Tech and play his last year. And so that's what he's done. Now, he got, you know, he had, he missed the North Texas game, which was our fourth game of the year, you know, in this day and age of COVID-19. That still happens sometimes. Yeah. And so he missed that game and came back and had, you know, despite not really being able to practice for 10 days, he came back against a very good North Carolina State team who was ranked number one in the ACC in defense. And threw for over 300 yards. And again, we lost 34-27, but he had an unbelievable game in that one. But got hurt right at the end of it as we were driving down to try to tie it up. They had to take him out with about a minute left when he took a hit. And, you know, just he's kind of been banged up ever since. You know, he got hurt. The games are all starting to run together for me now. But he got hurt towards the end of the Old Dominion game. And in that contest again. And so he didn't play this last week against UAB. So, you know, not having him on the field has obviously hurt. Yeah, we've got a couple of other quarterbacks, a guy named JD Head, who we're really excited about. He's just a freshman, and he started against UAB and did a decent job. But, yeah, Austin, he's been a difference maker for us. And when he's healthy and he's on the field, he's got an opportunity to score.
I'm very impressed what Holtz has done with these transfer quarterbacks, Malcolm. He also got Driscoll to finish at Tech from Florida. I thought that was a big-time transfer for Tech there for a couple of years.
Yeah, and the year before that, he got a transfer out of Iowa State named Cody Sokol. So he's had some real luck with the transfer portal. And again, those are three quarterbacks from Power Five schools that he got here for a year. And all three of them, you know, had really good years. Cody and Jeff were able to stay healthy their entire year. Again, that's been the one thing on Austin this year, just he's been banged up. But, yeah, Skip, we've got about 22 transfers on this year's roster. You mentioned Bud Means, a guy that transferred. Got another great wide receiver named Sam Emelis who transferred this year. We got some defensive backs. I mean, we've got a lot of transfers that have come in here and done a nice job for us.
What do you think of Smoke Harris? I mean, he's probably the smallest, most athletic player in the country. Strong kid, 53 catches, leads the team, four touchdowns, 547 yards. From West Feliciana, had a chance to watch him a lot when he was in Baton Rouge playing. But how much does he mean to this team, Malcolm? He's got some eligibility left, but Smoke is just an incredible player, right, for Tech on offense?
No, there's no doubt. I mean, he's had some big games for us here recently. He was kind of J.D. Head, the young quarterback who started last week against UAB. He was kind of his security blanket in that UAB game, scored a couple of touchdowns in that game for us and had a really nice game. He put the ball in his hand. You know, Smoke's a guy that can turn a 5-yard gain into a 45-yard touchdown, and he's done that a number of times this year. He's our punt returner as well. So he's electrifying. And, you know, we're glad, again, that he's a Louisiana Tech Bulldog, and he's got another year or two left. And, you know, he's definitely one of the main weapons on our offense this year.
Take a quick break. I wanted to come back, and when we talk about Tyler Grubbs and also a couple of other players, Ben Bell, who's been impressive to me on D-line, and Abraham Delphin on offensive line, and Joshua Moat, just a bunch of Louisiana guys that have done really well at Tech. We'll be back with more of Malcolm Butler with Louisiana Tech. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company, located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. We've got Malcolm Butler with Louisiana Tech with us today. And Malcolm, every time I turn on the TV and I watch Tech the last 2 years, I see a tackling machine. Tyler Grubbs from Holy Cross High School, a linebacker. This kid, is he a machine for this team with tackles?
Yeah, no, he is. You know, Tyler's an interesting story. You know, last year he wasn't even on the 2-deep going into the season opener last year against Southern Miss. And right before that game, we had, of course, this is in 2020, we had some COVID issues hit, and we had gosh, I think out of our two deep on the offensive and defensive side, which that would have been, 44 players, I think we have about half of those that did not dress out for that game or travel because of contact tracing. And so Tyler all of a sudden goes from not being on the two deep to being thrown into there and basically getting a start in that game. And he came out and recorded 16 tackles as a true freshman in his first game and really never looked back, was a freshman All-American last year for us, led us in tackles. And, you know, the crazy thing is, I mean, he's starting again for us this year and having just the same type of year. And because of getting that year back, I mean, he's, you know, he's got over 100 career tackles going into this year, and he's considered a freshman this year. So it really is. And so I think, you know, I think he's got a chance, if he stays here and continues to do what he's doing, to become the all-time tackles leader at Louisiana Tech by the time it's said and done. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of that across college athletics and sports, where these guys who have gotten this extra year, right? I mean, it's not like last year's football season didn't happen. We played 10 games. It's like he got to play in all 10 of them, and it didn't count against him. So, you know, I think you'll see a lot of records across the country that are broken due to the extra year. But anyhow, Tyler's been an unbelievable player. He's got a nose for the football, and he's just a hard-nosed kid. He's not one of those guys that, you know, he's just a hard-nosed, old-school type of player, right? He's going to come out. He's going to make a play. He's not going to dance around or do anything after he makes the play. He's going to get up and go and get ready to make a play on the next play. So that's the type of player Tyler Grubbs is.
And one other kid that I think has started since day one almost is an offensive lineman from Plaquemine High School. People keep up with him, including myself. Abram Delphin, who's really done a great job for Tech on the O-line, him and Joshua Moat.
Yeah, they've been consistent for us on that O-line. You know, Josh is our left guard, and Abraham Delphin is our starting center. And both of those guys have started every game this year and really done a great job. You know, we've got a couple of graduate transfers that are in our starting lineup as well on the offensive line. But Abraham and Josh have been with us since day one. And, you know, again, your starting center is an important piece to the puzzle, right? Because he's the one calling out the one calling out the blocking assignments before the ball snapped. And they're both wonderful student athletes. They do a great job in the classroom and excel there as well. And they're staples on the football field for us.
Malcolm Butler, I got to ask you this: is there a third Barnes kid to kick for the school one day? Because it seems like Barnes, there's going to be like 12 years of kicking from the Barnes brothers here, right? Jacob's only a sophomore, or well, a freshman again.
Yeah, he's a freshman again. Yeah, he's followed in Jonathan's footsteps, and again done really, really good. I think he's missed two, maybe three field goals this year, and one of them I mentioned, the one against Mississippi State, was blocked. So you really can't blame him on that one. So, you know, Skip Holtz feels anytime you're 47, 48 yards out and in, he feels like it's automatic, and Jacob's you know, given reason to believe in him. And so Jonathan had an unbelievable career at Louisiana Tech. He's still here in the Ruston area. I see him from time to time. He's selling real estate these days. And his younger brother, Jacob, is following in his footsteps nicely.
I went to Woodlawn football games in Baton Rouge, Malcolm, and every game his dad would be on the sidelines with a towel, keeping those balls dry when it would rain. And he was kind of like the punting kicking coach for the team, volunteer. And he said, "I've got another one coming up." And he was right when I watched Jacob. So two back-to-back at Tech kicking. Can you come back one more segment? We can talk about Lady Texter basketball and softball?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more of Malcolm Butler from Louisiana Tech. We'll talk some Texter basketball and also softball when we come back.
Come and visit the majestic mansion in the marsh, Gros Savan, Waterfowl, and Wildlife Lodge. Gros Savan is the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savan Lodge has everything for you, from fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and eco-tours. Located south of Lake Charles, call 337-598-2357 or visit www.grossavan.com for more information and schedule your trip to the majestic mansion in the marsh, Gros Savan, Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Our guest is Malcolm Butler. who's been at Louisiana Tech, it seems like, for 50 years, huh? Malcolm, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And, you know, this last year and a half, I think, to everybody around the world, but those of us in college athletics, the last year and a half seems like it's probably been 10 years with all the challenges that we've all faced. But, yeah, been here since 99, Louisiana Tech graduate of 94, and so glad to be at a place that I'm passionate about and love.
You served as the radio play-by-play voice for the Lady Texter basketball program for 21 years. What do you think of their team this year, Malcolm? What do you think the Texters will be this year, talent-wise?
You know, I think they've got a chance to be pretty good. I'm actually sitting out here right now as we're talking, watching practice. They opened the season last night here at home, and played Jarvis Christian, which is a smaller school. I think they might be a community college. And,
okay.
You know, and those, a lot of times in those openers, you know, you want to, especially this team only has four players back from last year's roster. So they've got nine newcomers. And so right now, Brooke Storm's just trying to get the chemistry together. And they got a lot of new kids that, you know, are trying to just figure things out. And so they got a couple of games to open the year against non-D1s, and last night they won 103-53. So, you know, they came out, they did what they were supposed to do, and they took care of business, and everybody got to play minutes, and everybody scored. And so, you know, they'll get these first two games under their belt, and then they'll have and play Ole Miss next week. So, you know, she just wants them to get a little bit of confidence before she really puts them to a test. And I think they got a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, only four letter winners back, but she's got her top two scorers back. One of them's Kiana Walker, who led us in scoring last year. She's a guard that's extremely quick and can score on all three levels. And then Anna Laura Robertson, who's a 6'3" post player, who's really, really nice. I think she might have a chance to be the best post player in Conference USA this year if she continues to work. So they've got two strong pieces to the puzzle. And it's just a matter of figuring out who that third and fourth scorer is going to be and then figuring out what everybody's role is going to be.
My first women's basketball game I ever watched was Louisiana Tech back when Mulkey was a point guard. And I didn't even know they had basketball or anything. That was my first basketball game I think I ever watched. I was a kid. And I thought the Tech basketball program was the great. I followed them ever since then in 1982 or it was like 80. When was Mulkey there?
She was there early 80s. You're right.
Yeah. And I was just hooked on the program. Like, this program's different, man. That they were the program, and still people know that when you say Louisiana Tech, Lady Texter basketball, it's like, whoa, that's like saying Duke and North Carolina on the men's side, you know. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm looking up here in the rafters right now. There's, you know, 13 Final Four banners up there, which include three national titles. And so this program under Leon Barmore was, you know, Leon was Gino before Gino, right?
Yeah,
I mean, him and Pat Summitt put women's basketball on the map in a lot of ways in the 80s and the 90s. And, you know, it was a great rivalry and two great coaches. And Louisiana Tech still ranks, I think, fourth all-time in most wins in program history amongst all schools. And so when you think of women's basketball, you think of the Lady Texters. Now, we know we're in a day and age now where it's tougher and tougher for mid-majors to get to Final Fours. In fact, I think the last mid-major on the women's side to get to the Final Four was Southwest Missouri State, which is now Missouri State.
Wow.
And they did it 20 years ago.
Whoa.
So it's been that long.
Wow.
But, you know, this program still has a lot of tradition, history, and pride. And the goal is to still to try to win conference championships and get to the NCAA tournament.
You know a thing about softball, too. I mean, you did broadcast 750 softball games, including the 2008, 17, and 19 regionals for the softball team there at Louisiana Tech. What do you think of their outlook this year for softball?
You know, we've got a brand new head coach. It's our fourth head coach in 4 years, believe it or not.
Okay.
Mark Montgomery was the one that did such a good job and put us on the map. He's the one that was leading us when we won the 17 and 19 Conference USA titles. In fact, in 19, we won 45 games and won both the regular season and the tournament title and played down in the Baton Rouge Regional. And after that year, he got hired away by Maryland. And it was until September that they hired him. So long story short, but it's a bad time to be trying to hire a softball coach in September.
Right,
now, both
right.
schools have started. Coaches have their players back. And so we went the junior college route and hired a lady named Maria Wynn, who had a lot of success. And unfortunately, she got here and immediately had some health issues. And then you had the COVID year. And so She made the decision that Division One was not for her, but she didn't, you know, give us her retirement until early August. And now we're, you know, again, not good timing. We're in August of 20, which is still, you know, the pandemic is still pretty new for everybody. Yeah. And we're trying to hire again, and we're not, you know, just not getting the candidates we want. So we made our assistant coach interim, and she got us through last year and did a nice job. And we went out and hired Josh Taylor in June, and he came here from the University of Nevada, where he had been the head coach for the last 5 years. I mean, they beat the number one team in the country last year, and he did an outstanding job there. So we're excited. That's a long answer, but we're excited about the direction of this program. We got a brand new facility here that was built after the tornado tore our baseball and softball facilities down. And yeah, we went from having probably, to be very transparent, one of the worst softball facilities in Conference USA to having by far and away the best softball facility in Conference USA, one that will rival and surpass most Power Fives.
And I want to mention this because I don't know if some people miss this and they hear the show in Shreveport. We go to Shreveport, Bossier City, Monroe, and Baton Rouge, New Orleans, all over Lafayette, everywhere. But if you didn't watch the baseball tournament last year, Louisiana Tech's baseball team gave – I mean, they were incredible, weren't they, Malcolm? In the regionals last year, the boys, the baseball team, was incredible.
Lane Burroughs did an outstanding job, and that team was unbelievable. A lot of fun to watch. We were able to host the Conference USA tournament, and that was an unbelievable atmosphere. And we made it all the way out of the losers bracket to make it all the way to the championship game on that Sunday against Old Dominion. You know, ranked in the top 25 for most of the year. We hosted our first ever regional. We were the number 16 national seed. And so we actually had North Carolina State here, right? Everybody's darling. The Wolfpack, we made it to all the way to the regional final, and they beat us here. And then they went up to Arkansas and knocked off number one Arkansas, and then went on to the College World Series and looked like they were on their way to winning a World Series before COVID kind of got them. It was an absolutely big time, unbelievable atmosphere here during that both the Conference USA tournament and the NCAA regional.
Yeah, that Tech baseball team beat a lot of giants last year during the season too. A lot of good programs took them down, and that, I was excited. I really love watching them play. They played with a lot of passion, played as a team, and really just played all they could, you know, to their maximize their ability, their pitching and hitting, and they had a lot of home run power. They were fun to watch. But any final thoughts? Oh, I want to mention one other thing. The only reason I watched the Utah Jazz growing up was because of Karl Malone. And I've got to admit that, because he was a Louisiana Tech guy.
Yeah, no, Karl played here in the early 80s. You know, I remember watching him all 3 years. I was in junior high at the time. And big Karl Malone fan when he was here as a Bulldog. And then obviously the unbelievable career he had with the Jazz. He's still the number two all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA. And another one of those, you know, I mentioned earlier when we talked about Bradshaw, Louisiana Tech's got a lot of names, former alums who came through here. I mean, we got three Pro Football Hall of Famers. We've got four that are in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. So a lot of history here at Louisiana Tech.
A lot of great high school football players that come out of the air out of Cedar Creek and Lincoln Prep, Ruston High School. Man, it's just – football and baseball, basketball, softball is just some of the best in the state in that area. Any final thoughts, Malcolm, about the programs or any facilities you want to talk about? Anything being like updated? Anything you want to promote?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we've just spent here since we entered Conference USA back in 2013. We've spent over $100 billion on either brand new facilities or renovations to current facilities. And, you know, again, we mentioned baseball, softball, soccer, what we've done over there at the football stadium with the brand new Davidson Athletic Center, which houses a football team. We've got a brand new suites and press box at the stadium. So we have invested, and we're going to continue to invest. We're going to be probably releasing here the next month or two our facilities master plan and kind of what's going to come next over the course of the next 5 to 7 to 8 years. So we're excited about that. And I just think that, you know, Louisiana Tech is in a really great spot and location. You mentioned great fertile recruiting grounds. I'm excited about what we've got going on here.
Malcolm, thanks for taking the time while you're watching practice of the Texter basketball team. Appreciate you taking the time to promote Louisiana Tech with us statewide. And thank you for all the years of helping us with the magazine when you were starting over there in the sports information department. You helped us get a bunch of photos of the Timory Tays back in the day to use in our magazine, and we appreciate you helping us over the years.
You bet, Lee. I enjoyed the conversation today, and thanks for covering Louisiana Tech, bud.
Okay. Don't hang up yet. We're going to end the show. Everybody go to LAFootballMagazine.com. You can still get your preview issue, which Louisiana Tech has previewed. If you're listening to this, North Louisiana, we do preview Louisiana Tech every year for 25 years. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.